everybody. Welcome back to Choreograph Your Life. I hope you guys are having a wonderful week thus far. It's Wednesday. We are back. We've got another fabulous guest here on the show. Somebody I'm very excited for you to meet and learn all sorts of wonderful information from. Let's talk to the man, the myth, the legend, Jack Svoboda. Hi.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, everyone.
How's it going?
Doing well. Oh,
we are sitting here in St. Louis, Missouri. Jack is moving back here from Chicago. Damn. And so I'm here visiting and doing some choreography. So we got a chance to sit down and talk and gather some information to give to you all about how you can continue to choreograph your life and go after the best life that you want to lead. And that is exactly what our good friend Jack has done here with his new company and throughout the course of his whole journey to get there. So he's going to talk to us a little bit about that. So Jack, welcome.
Glad to be here. Excited.
Good
Marginally
stuff.
Less awkward than I thought it was going to be.
Really?
Yeah. No, this is great.
Did you think that this was going to be a really weird experience?
A little bit. I mean, you know, just it's kind of weird. You know, you and I have had a great background, and so now sitting getting interviewed is a little bit awkward, but no, I'm ready.
It's yeah. Good. Well, so backstory, Jack, I've known him since he was a very young lad because he is also my cousin. So I don't know if you've noticed this trend, but I have a pretty fabulous family who are all very, very, very smart, and they have done a lot of amazing things with their careers and in their lives. And he is one of those people that has definitely taken the reins on his life and made it just an incredible, incredible journey. And so we have had a lot of history. We have had a lot of times together, not necessarily with microphones in front of our faces, although maybe
could have been,
there may have been a karaoke moment somewhere in there along the way. My favorite story was the time at Shady Gator. Shady Gator, for those of you who are listening that don't know, is at the Lake of the Ozarks. So if you've ever watched the Netflix show Ozark, or if you're from Missouri, you know what the Lake of the Ozarks is. It's the Hillbilly Hamptons. And so we were there one night, and Jack grabbed one of his parents' credit cards and came running over, and he said, "Look what I got." And then the night went from there. And
yeah.
We probably got in a little bit of trouble that night.
Lots of pain in the asses, and yeah, those will put you on your ass.
It was a different time of life,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Great time, though.
It was a great time. So, Jack, tell us a little bit about you and what you're up to these days.
Yeah. So, from St. Louis originally, went to University of Missouri after high school and moved to Chicago with my now wife, Kat. So, moved up there about 7 years ago, did investment banking for a couple years, moved into private equity, and recently left to start Symmetry, which I'm sure I'll talk about as we go through the interview.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in short and at a high level, what we do is we try and focus on helping multifamily owners and operators simplify security deposit administration. And so there's a lot of rules around security deposits, you know, where you need to store them, you know, when you get it from the tenant, you know, how, if you need to pay interest back, you know, when you pay that back. And so what we try and do is step in and help them with that process.
That's excellent. And what he's talking about for those of you who are more maybe in dance land is whenever you move into an apartment and you pay a security deposit, that's what we're talking about right now. Not to make you feel silly, but, you know,
yeah.
He had to explain it to me a few times because I sat there with 5, 6, 7, 8 in my brain and was like, what? Oh,
so, yeah. I mean, nobody likes, you know, paying a security deposit, obviously. So what we try and do is, you know, help the landlords, you know, manage that as well as, you know, give the tenants some sort of, hey, look, we're watching out for you. We're making sure that this deposit is being treated the way that it should be.
Yeah, so that they could get it back.
Yes, exactly. Hence the name. You know, the deposit kind of creates, you know, sometimes a lot of contention between landlord and tenant. And so, you know, Symmetry kind of comes from, you know, we're trying to create a more harmonious relationship between the two. And it kind of all starts with that, you know, asset, that being the security deposit.
That's awesome.
Hmm?
That's very, very exciting stuff that you're working on.
Yeah, it's been fun.
You've been building this for a long time.
Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, you appreciate when you leave and start your own business is you've got this master plan that you come out with. And I think, you know, if you're not willing to change and pivot that and, you know, go out and tell, you know, because the market's ultimately going to tell you what that product needs to be.
Right.
So it's been a ton of time over the past, you know, year and a half of kind of just going out, getting feedback and going back and saying, you know, hey guys, we've nailed it on this one, or back to the drawing board, you know, sure. We need to fix that. And so, you know, we're getting ready to, we'll launch officially in the next month or two. And so we're pretty excited.
That's so exciting. Yeah. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
He's not going into, I think, as deep as maybe he's being a little bit modest, but he has been working on this so hard for so long. And I, you know, you've always been the very, you know, he's very much an entrepreneur, very much has wonderful, amazing ideas, and he's super, super smart. And this has been something that he's just been working on forever. And it's so exciting to see it all happening.
I know. It's starting to feel very real, which is cool.
That's amazing. Yeah. When it starts to feel real, you're like, oh, this is a thing.
This is actually my job.
So you're a CEO. Mm-hmm. You own this place, own this business. What do you do on your day to day to choreograph your responsibilities that you have?
Yep. And so this one, I think sometimes I wonder if I'm a victim of, you know, almost overdoing it to where I'm spending more time, you know, choreographing my life than, you know, doing tasks. And so, you know, but that kind of, you know, pulls from my personal life and into my work. So from, you know, work perspective, my team and I kind of use three main tools. So Asana is kind of our main, you know, task management and, you know, like project management software. And so what that is that's a software that uses what's called a Kanban type style. So basically, you know, it's if you've ever seen the show Silicon Valley or, you know, maybe you just see it in general, there's, you know, kind of four or five buckets along a whiteboard, and you've got little post-it notes, and you kind of put them, you know, here's the start, and then there's a, you know, to do and progress, you know, to refine and then completed. And so this kind of, you know, takes it from, you know, that whiteboard and the post-its and turns it into a software. So,
awesome.
You know, we use that. We use Microsoft Teams is another one, similar to Slack, if there's anyone out there who uses that. And then Salesforce, which I really don't like, but we use that.
Why don't you like it?
It's you basically have to have an engineering background, you know, a software development background to kind of build out your own. They give you everything you need.
Sure.
But, you know, it takes a lot of time to kind of customize it and make it work for you. And, you know, we're in startup mode. And so, you know, cash burn is most important, keeping that low. And so we pay for the cheapest version. So there's basically nothing.
Right. Yeah. As one does. Right. Hence these microphones that we're talking
about. Right. Yeah. Actually, these are pretty nice. I like
these. They're not so bad.
You know, I liked even the little buffer here to, you know.
It's in case you spit.
Good. I'll try and watch that.
Try to watch that.
And so then from a personal perspective, I use Google Calendar. Trello, it's another type of Kanban style, but you know, but I use it for on a personal level to not get the two mixed up. And then Apple Reminders for kind of like, hey, don't forget to do this, because it's, you know, with Apple Reminders, it's kind of nice where it pops up and it doesn't go away until, you know, every time you open your phone, you're like, I need to do that task.
For sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of from a, you know, from a tool standpoint, from a structural standpoint. We actually just kind of went through this and initiated something that we call Win the Week. And so what we, you know, the general premise is that, you know, we, you know, not everybody's going to have 100% of a day every day, right?
Sure.
You know, whether it be, you know, you had a long weekend, you know, maybe a bachelorette party and you need a day to recover,
right.
Or, you know, you've got something personal going on. You know, what we try and do is say, you know, we don't want to be, you know, micromanaging and, you know, managing everyone's daily tasks and watching out for it. So, you know, we kind of focus on and say, well, let's try and win the week, right? And
sure.
So what we do is essentially come up with, I've got everyone has three major tasks and three minor tasks. And we kind of score those and say, you know, so for example, and we're still kind of working around the details, but those will have, you know, 5 points each major task, and a minor has 1 point. And so if you hit 12 points, then, you know, you've at least done a good job, you've won that week. And so, you know, you could be a combination of, hey, I knocked out three major tasks, or, you know, I knocked out two major tasks and two minor. And so, you know, what we do is we meet on a Tuesday and kind of say, here's my goals for the week and here's how I'm going to win the week. And we do kind of a check-in on Friday morning, because, you know, if, you know, you're kind of being a turd and you haven't got your, you know, through your tasks, it at least says, okay, I've got the full day Friday of, you know, work week, as well as if I need to make it up over the weekend, I can and be ready for next Tuesday.
Why not Monday?
So I don't like Mondays.
Fair.
You know, Mondays are always tough, especially, sometimes Sundays, you know, you're Sunday night, especially too, you're sitting there and all of a sudden
you have the scaries.
Especially the 60 minutes. You're like, oh,
no.
But a lot of times on Mondays too, you know, if people are traveling, getting back in, it's a good day to kind of like, oh snap, I got to get, you know, everything done to kind of get to Tuesday. And a lot of times too, Mondays are good days to, you know, follow up with clients externally just to get that email out and whatnot. Part of that too is we kind of focus on, you know, one thing that we don't want to do. So, you know, for example, one of my co-founders, Luke, like his, you know, do not do is he turns his phone off from 8 to 12, you know, from every day. And that's just because he found...
Like off or silent?
Silent. So it was off originally. Then we kind of, again, we all worked together. And so we moved it to more silent because it was like, well, what if we need to get a hold of you?
Right. What if something is on fire?
Yeah. And so, you know, basically if we mess up, then, you know, we pay money into a jar. Or one of the things that we've joked around about is, you know, if you do that, or if you're the loser, you have the least amount of points and win the week, you have to donate, you know, $15 to the candidate that you hate the most, you know, just given we're
that's amazing.
So yeah, and then finally, I think in terms of you know, choreographing your day, like what I try to do is focus on, all right, like I'm gonna set up my day for success, and so you have to kind of figure out, all right, well, like I'm a morning person, for example, so
yeah, he wanted to do this interview at like 4 a.m.
That or, psycho. Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I get up pretty early and I, you know, try and say, all right, well, you know, brain intensive tasks or things that require a lot of, you know, like brain power, I'm going to do in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the afternoon can kind of be, you know, more admin type tasks. And so, you know, but some people, you know, have, you know, different mentalities. Some people are night owls. And so just kind of setting that up to say, all right, here's how I'm going to, you know, set my day up.
Right.
And for me, it's great because I like it because, you know, as you get to the time of day where emails start to pour in at 8 or so, you know, you feel like you've already, and for me, it's important because I feel like by the time everybody rolls in, I'm like, dude, I've been here for half a day already. Let's roll. Let's do this. I'm ready.
I've like been to lunch.
Yeah. Had three meals. Like,
very well fed. Definitely.
Yeah, hydrated.
Yeah. Ready to rock. No, I get that. You know, now living on the East Coast, it's funny because we're an hour ahead of where I've lived my whole life in the Midwest. And whenever it's almost like I feel like I'm ahead of the game, and truly, because it's like I got up an hour earlier than everybody in the Midwest, and I don't even know you West Coast people. I'm stressed for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's I'm very competitive in nature, and so that's exactly the, you know, being able to say like, oh, what's up, sleepyhead? You know, even though they're getting up at a very normal time,
right,
gives me that extra, you know, kind of momentum or motivation that I need to get through the day.
Sure, so. Absolutely. Wow, you have a very well choreographed day.
Yeah, like I said, though, I think sometimes it's like over planned and then, you know, you're like.
Yeah, I get that. You know, sometimes when I'm choreographing a show or choreographing a dance, if it's almost sometimes if it's too well planned and then things start to fall apart, I'm like.
This day.
Now what? Forget it. I'm going home.
I'm going to bed.
But it seems like you are aware of that, though, at least.
Yeah.
And so you can adjust.
Again, that changes. And that's why, like, you know, being able to start in the morning before anything happens, you can get, for, you know, back to the win the week, my three major tasks, I can knock out progress on all of those so that if things come up, you know, I've at least made progress on
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. So you said you were in investment banking and then you went to private equity. What made you finally say, all right, doing this thing. I'm going to follow my dreams. I'm going to make Symmetry happen. Like, how did you choose to finally take that plunge, if you will?
Yeah. So I think growing up, for me, it was, I've always been kind of obsessed with how things, like I've been pretty curious and also like wanting to know how things work and how to do them on my own. So like, whether that be Legos as a kid to then, you know, like dirty small engines in high school and whatnot, to then, you know, investment banking was, well, how do you value a business? And then private equity was, okay, what drives that value? Well, this was just kind of the next step. And so it was, you know, I want to try and, you know, build a company together that, you know, people want to work for and do that from scratch and understand how that works. And so that was a big factor. And the other one was, investment banking and private equity, I worked both for very big organizations.
Right.
And it was great, and I learned a ton, you know, but you do sort of plateau, number one. And more importantly for me, you know, you feel like you're just a cog in that machine.
Absolutely. Right?
And
right,
so,
right.
You know, I wanted to, you know, to know that, you know, what I'm doing is making a difference. And that's motivating for me,
mm-hmm.
You know, as well as the fact of it. I mean, it can be, you know, overbearing sometimes. Again, back to the, if you hear the 60 minutes clock, like, you know, it's
that, Lester
that,
Holt.
That damn clock.
Isn't that Lester Holt? Is that Lester?
There's a couple of them. Yeah. But, you know, it's pretty cool to sit back and say, like, all right, if I don't go into work tomorrow, if I take the day off, what happens?
Right.
And the answer is, well, the business is, you know, has a, you know, detriment, an extreme detrimental impact. And so mm-hmm. for me, you know, that's kind of what, you know, drove me to where I am here now.
That's
today.
Yeah. That's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, I like what you say about if you don't go to work, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Nothing, probably.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I know you have a fabulous
team.
But,
now, yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, it's the things that you need to accomplish, though, yeah. aren't going to get done, which will then obviously in turn affect the rest of the process
yeah.
where maybe in your previous your previous career, it wasn't so much that way.
Yeah,
am
they
I
would
right?
just throw another body at it,
right.
essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand that. Well, that's awesome. So what factors in then now to your personal and professional goal setting?
Mm-hmm.
Are you titles? Are you numbers? Influence? Are you an influencer?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely not a titles guy. You know, it's cool, you know, CEO, but, you know, right now it's, you know, doesn't, you know, necessarily matter to me. You know, the influencer, definitely not. I think the last time I posted on social media was like 2015.
Ooh.
Yeah,
so don't go looking for a Facebook anything or an Insta story.
You know, I'm up, but for that sense, you know, I feel like I've got some decent quality on there.
You do. And every once in a while, you'll look at Snapchat.
Yeah.
You'll
yeah.
open a snap.
Yeah. But no, so definitely not an influencer. You know, I love numbers. Like I said, love, you know, figuring out how things work. But for me, kind of, you know, setting those goals and, you know, is a big motivator for me is, you know, what, you know, how others perceive me. And
sure.
so I think that, you know, can be a detriment sometimes and can be, you know, can lead people in bad directions. But for me, it's kind of, you know, I want to be seen as, you know, someone inspirational and someone that, you know, it comes off as, wow, that, you know, that's an impressive guy.
So he, just so you, he says that, and so you know, he does come across that way. And my favorite thing that I have ever heard anyone say about you that's with regard to what we're talking about, not like Jack's really fun to hang out with at Shady Gators, is...
Especially when I have a card.
Especially when he has one of the cards. Woo! It was my dad, and he said, you know, I never worry about Jack. Jack will always figure it out, and he is so smart. Like, I would trust Jack with any project that I wanted to get done. And so, I mean, I think, so you know, you are very much perceived how I believe you would probably like to be perceived. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Uncle Kim. I love that guy.
gotta love an Uncle Kim. He's a good one. So what, you know, obviously you want people to feel a certain kind of way about you. Is that what leaves you feeling the most fulfilled and that you did a good job, or is it something else?
Yeah. I think it's part of that and part of, you know, what I would say achieving things that people would most often say that, well, that's unachievable. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, a little bit of background is, you know, when I was in college, I went on a trip, my junior year to, it was called Tigers on Wall Street. And so, you know, I was from Missouri, didn't have much exposure to that kind of high finance and was, you know, enthralled and went there, and it was really cool to see all that. And so I got back and started networking, saying, well, how do I get into investment banking? This sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, dude, you are about 3 years too late. Like, you got to start freshman year and start, you know, knocking down doors and getting intros and whatnot. And so, you know, for me, and it was like, this is hard, let alone for anyone, you know, it's an Ivy League, you know, type mentality of, you know, you've got to be from Princeton or, you know, well, it's not, you know, in Indiana is another great
sure.
school, but
sure.
you know, so oftentimes what I heard is this is going to be almost impossible, especially for a kid from Mizzou. So
mm-hmm.
for me, it was perfect, like challenge accepted.
Right.
And so
bring it.
Yeah, let's do it. And so I used this Beta Gamma Sigma. It's like a national fraternity that I got accepted into, and kind of going to that and you know, typing in, you know, M&A, so mergers and acquisitions, or investment banking, and typing into like the, you know, the member directory, and I got like 200 names or so.
Yeah.
And just literally like put up a template and sent out 200 emails.
Right.
And I would love to be able to say that one of the people that, you know, responded was how I got my job.
Yeah.
But out of the 200, I think I got like 4 emails back.
Hey, you know.
Yeah. And still keep in touch with, you know, some of those. So, you know, but then, you know, was able to, through other networking, kind of land a job, and, you know, that was great. And so, you know, once I was in there, you know, kind of the greener pasture, the next great thing, you know, that everybody wanted to do was private equity. And so, you know, again, kind of similar story though, is, all right, well, you know, you didn't come from a prestigious school, you know, you're at a middle market bank, so it's not the Goldman Sachs, the, you know, JP Morgan, the, you know, those type of big, they call bulge brackets. So it wasn't one of those, and it's going to be like, it's going to be really tough. And so again, perfect, great, challenge accepted, let's do this. And so, you know, did that for a while and got to that point. And then, you know, the next step is, you know, to me, the biggest challenge is, you know, starting a business from scratch and making it a successful and profitable business. And so, you know, here I am. And so I think that's always been something for me is like, okay, there's this unachievable goal, or, you know, it's not necessarily unachievable, but it's a very, very big challenge. And that's what I like to, you know, go out and try to you know, meet those, or, you know, exceed those expectations.
So networking has been important, sort of, but
absolutely.
Yeah, a lot. Okay, great. Yeah. Well, and here you are doing exactly what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Who are some of your biggest mentors and sources of inspiration?
Yeah. So my parents have always been a huge inspiration for me.
Good family.
Yeah. John and Monica. Shout out. What are the chances John listens to this?
He might.
He might if he knows it. Yeah, maybe.
He might.
We'll see.
He might.
No, my parents have been a huge inspiration to me. On the personal side, kind of some random ones are, you know, the grade school teacher, Dee Lepowski, was like, you know,
Out.
Yeah, right.
Dee Lepowski.
Yeah. I was kind of, I was going through a little rough patch when I was getting towards the end of grade school. I frankly almost got kicked out of grade school.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, it was bad.
Were you just being a little shit?
Yeah, I was just being a turd. And, you know, like kind of at that, you know, stage in my life, I think, you know, my brother Tommy was going through, you know, similar phase, I think, in high school. So I was, you know, like kind of seeing that, like, that, you know, cool. And so, you know, but it was, you know, bad news. And I should note, Tommy did not almost get kicked out of school.
Tommy.
No, absolutely not. But, you know, I was going through a rough patch, and she kind of helped me get back on track. And so, you know, that was someone I'll always remember as being kind of like that first, hey, what the F are you doing? You know, then from there, another big one was my high school football coach, Bob Shannon. He was a really good personal mentor, very, very tough guy to play for. But just instilled some values that I have that are, you know, incredible. You know, just a small one is like he used to say, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And so just like that general premise of I'm 5 minutes early to every meeting. And so that's always kind of stuck with me. And he was one of those guys that, you know, saw like my competitive nature and pushed me, you know, and got the best out of me. And so I think from a professional, you know, mentor type thing, all the people in investment banking and private equity that saw that in me and pushed me a little bit further, to get the best out of me. So, you know, those are big ones. And then, you know, kind of from more of a famous perspective, you know, he's got, you know, a little bit of a, you know, like some hate him, some love him. He's, you know, kind of, you know, what's the word I'm searching for? Well, you can edit this out.
People hate on him.
Controversial.
Yeah,
he's a very controversial type, but Elon Musk. And so the reason why I like him, you know, is because he is he wrote the book on achieving the unachievable.
Sure.
So, you know, whether it be, you know, the Boring Company, Hyperloop, you know, Tesla, and then, you know, with the big one, like, you know, making space cool again, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, to watch him and kind of sit back and think, okay, like he said, you know, I need to basically get humans to Mars. And so that is, I mean, first off, that's quite the goal.
It's quite, quite the goal.
Yeah. But just then the way he's, you know, this is some big goal. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, step one is, you know, we got to make, like, the biggest thing is rockets need to be, you know, economically, you know, feasible. And so that's the first thing he focused on. So enter SpaceX. And then, you know, he makes it Now we're going to turn it into a business and we're start working with governments and getting their satellites up in space. And, you know, so now it's a profitable business, and enter, you know, Jeff Bezos and, you know, other billionaires that are looking to try to kind of compete. And then, you know, you kind of start to get that mentality of everyone's talking about it. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, kind of where we are now here today. But I think one of the most important things too, that I like about him is, you know, as great as what, you know, he does, he's got a really nice way of not taking things too seriously. And it's mm-hmm. something that I need to do a much better job of. And I think, you know, he, you know, just case in point, you know, he, you know, releases his own EDM songs. You know, he, his tweets are just, you know, like ambient driven, I think, but just hilarious. If anyone, it's worth a follow. And then, you know, like things of where, you know, when he launched the first, you know, SpaceX thing into, I don't know if it was the first one, but we launched into space, he had a Tesla with a crash test dummy with an astronaut thing. So there's just an astronaut floating around, which is just pretty funny to me. Yeah. So, but yeah, those are, you know, he's definitely an inspiration.
Is having a Tesla a goal of yours? I can't decide if it's a goal of mine or not.
Not right now. I feel like I need more range. Yeah. You know, like the idea of just being like, oh, I gotta go charge it. You know, it's fast. I don't know. I've never owned one.
Yeah. Have you ever driven one?
I've driven like very, very short distance, but, but I've definitely pushed my dad, be like, yo, dad, you should go test
one of these. Yo, you should test one of these. I feel like everyone in Raleigh drives a Tesla. It's so weird.
Oh, they're everywhere in Chicago. And, yeah. They're awesome cars. Like, the cool thing about them is it's, you know, it's essentially like, I mean, it's an iPad, right? Because the thing that's, you know, most unique about the Teslas is, you know, they get software updates and it changes the whole thing. So it's just very cool, very cool business
That is
model.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm just over here with my Kia.
Nothing wrong with Kia.
No shame with Kia.
Yeah, I drove a Kia Optima the other day.
That's what I have.
Oh my God, these things are amazing.
I know, I really like it. I know.
Yeah, Ross and I, Luke's one of my co-founders, Ross is the other one. Him and I were driving, we're like, dude, these are kind of legit.
Right. Amazing. I know, they get a bad rep.
And like 39 miles to the gallon. It was amazing.
I'm telling you, it has every bell and whistle that you could ever want in a car. I mean, it's not as like fancy, I guess, if you will, as an Audi or a BMW or whatever, but it does all the same things. Yeah. And I really like it.
It reminds me of a Honda Accord. It's just a very functional, working, awesome car.
For sure. Yeah. That said, if someone was like, here you can have a Tesla or here you can have a Kia.
I think we go with Tesla.
We do that. No, but yeah, it's good stuff. What kind of educational resources or professional resources do you utilize now post-grad and in the working world, adulting, if you will?
So I usually try and start like the first hour or so of my day is I try and just get info overload. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'll start with, just given the industry I'm in, Wall Street Journal is pretty important, not only from the financial perspective, but I also just, you know, I'm a fan of their other articles. Twitter, social media, I've never posted from that account, and I don't, like, all my followers are just different, you know, news sources and different, you know, people I like to follow. So
you don't tweet?
No, I don't. Yeah. I have zero tweets. Zero followers, and I just follow a bunch of people.
Got it.
But it's great. It's a.
What's your Twitter handle?
I don't even know, honestly.
Oh my God, what would you do if all of a sudden you were just blowing up with all these followers after the Choreograph Your Life podcast? Yeah. You might.
Well, my personal Twitter handle, I don't know what that is, but I know it's a picture of from Top Gun, the scene when Tom Cruise and what's that actor's name? He's like Iceman. Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer, yeah. I was like, I can see him, but I'm bad at this game.
Yeah. But the one I actually use, though, I just kind of, you know, get, use it as a news source almost.
Gotcha.
And then when I get to work, you know, I'll put, there's a show called Squawk Box on CNBC. And so again, you know, more finance oriented, but, you know, kind of have that up and then just try and read as many articles as I can of just random stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, there was, I knew someone one time that said, you know, basically, can you have a conversation with, a 15-minute conversation with me if we don't talk about sports and work? And so, you know, the goal of what I try and do is obviously work-oriented, but I also just try and make myself more of an interesting person so I can have that type of conversation.
Right.
And then, finally, there's a phrase that was pretty popular when I was in investment banking called JFGI. And so, what that means, I'll keep it PG-13, but it's just freaking Google it. And so,
oh, yeah.
Like, resources. I mean, you want to talk about a resource, like, you know, Google is, you know, at your hands, and it's frustrating to me how sometimes, you know, people will be looking at their phones or their computers and they're like, I wonder how that works, and then just go back to their day. And, you know, for me, it just is like, hey, chief, like, this is going to blow your mind, but there is a whole lot more of the internet than Facebook and Insta. Like, it's there. and so that's, you know, I think just going back of, you know, just trying to be resourceful and, like, it's right there. You know, and there's umpteen amounts of information. And so that's, I do a lot of random Googling.
You've always been, like, very inquisitive, though. And you mentioned that earlier, like, you always want to know how things work. And it probably does drive you insane that people don't, like, take it upon themselves to say, www.google.com. I don't even think you have to type it in anymore. I'm sorry. I'm 87 years old. But you can just type it in and get any answer.
If you really don't want to, you can probably just ask Siri or Alexa to Google it for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or you just,
like, we've made it so easy. But, yeah, people are like, wonder how that is. Well,
whatever. Facebook. I'm going to like this dumb post. Definitely. So what then, as, you know, new business, new CEO, been all the places and done all the things, what advice would you give to someone choosing the type of position or career path that you have chosen?
Yeah. That was a big one because I remember when I left to do this, dad being probably my number one mentor I've always had was, you know, just, you know, his advice was make sure that this is something that, you know, you're doing because you want to do, not because maybe you're in a position that, you know, you don't like your job or you're looking for this way out. And I think that was really important, especially just because there's a, you know, phrase that, are you an entrepreneur or a wantrepreneur? Like, you know, do you really, you know, are you really ready to do this? Because, you know, you're going to go through some really, really, really shitty times. I mean, you are. And so, you know, you need to be able to make sure you're ready for that. And I think, you know, so that would be my first piece of advice. The second would be, you know, do as much as you can on the side before, you know, making that jump. Because, you know, having, you know, for using myself as an example, having, you know, a nice steady income while you can, you know, kind of, you know, moonlight and get as much as you can done, eventually, you know, you're going to have to leave. But, you know, it's a great aspect because, you know, you might find something and be like, ooh, that was close. Glad we didn't go that route. But I think, you know, there's a lot you can do before you make that jump. And, I think, but when you do jump, you need to commit.
You gotta be all in.
Again, like, you need to make sure, like, okay, I'm ready for the ups and downs because I guarantee you, you'll hit a down within the first couple. You know, no one just, you know, gets rich quick overnight. And so, or finds their, not even about, you know, gets their passion or finds it right away. There is some very tough times. And then third, I'd say would be, you know, as you go out and do this, you know, look for people that, you know, complement your weaknesses or, you know, augment your strengths. So meaning like, don't go out and hire your best friends, find people that, you know, okay, I do this well, what don't I do well? And that's the first type of, you know, thing you should try in finding that diverse team of people that, you know, together, you know, you're synergistic type of, you know, awesome, you know, culture. Whereas, you know, so I think that's important. And then again, going back to the Elon thing is, you know, when you do it, you know, it's, yeah, there's a lot of risk and there's a lot of stress, but, you know, try not to take things too seriously.
Sure. No, that makes total sense. So that is such a lovely segue into my next question for you then. You have these people around you that compliment you and that are great for making of the whole synergy of your company come together. So what is it about you, Jack Svoboda, that makes you important to this equation other than, you know, you started it?
I would say back to the what we were talking about earlier, the being, I think I am very curious and very resourceful. And so, you know, like curiosity is something that's always been a driving factor, but then also saying like, okay, well, this curious to know how this works or how to solve this, let's go find the answers.
Sure.
And I think, you know, this comes back to, again, to my dad. So I remember growing up, we had this, everyone probably had them, these World Almanac. And there was,
oh my gosh, yeah.
A to Z.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, come in and be like, hey, Dad, like, how does this work? Or like, if it was a home, you know, homework question, like, hey, Dad, like, what's the answer to this? Literally every time, first thing, well, did you check the almanac? I'm like, no, Dad, you're my almanac. Like, come on.
That's your job.
Yeah, like, what are you around here for?
Right.
But I think that kind of, for me, laid the foundation of, you know, look, I'm not always going to be the smartest guy in the room. I'm not going to have all the answers, but, you know, I can find those out. And there's a few things that I can do, you know, to kind of put my best foot forward. And it doesn't require any talent. So, you know, being on time, being prepared, you know, those types of things, you know, just, you know, giving it your all. And so those types of things, you know, don't require talent, but you can kind of set yourself aside by that, you know, by doing those things. And I think second would be, you know, I have a very contrarian type, you know, mentality in myself. So, you know, always kind of asking if, you know, if everyone's, you know, going one way, well, why is that? Why don't we go the other? And so, I think that that's a good one, but it drives my wife insane, as you can probably imagine. So
bless her soul. Bless cat's
soul. Yes. Yes.
She is a gem of a human being.
She absolutely is. Yeah. She's one heck of a rock. That's for sure.
She is. There are a lot of times that I'll like think about Jack and then I'll think to myself, gosh, she really did good with that.
Yeah. I mean, back to the point of, I think I took my own advice and found, you know, her and I together, you know, she, you know, could like, you know, helps complete all my, you know, like address
she
all
completes
the weaknesses.
Me.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yes.
There it is.
Yep. It ain't easy being cheesy.
Nope. It, you know, things are cliche for a reason. It just is true. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of people that are listening to this podcast right now, we're going to go back a little bit to before Symmetry. Mm-hmm. A lot of people listening to this podcast probably have heard enough about investment banking to kind of have an idea what it is and that you work a lot of hours, but we really don't know a whole lot. And it is, for whatever reason, very intriguing to people. So tell us a little bit about what that was.
Yeah.
What that was like.
So I'll tie it back to real estate because it's the, you know, industry I'm in, number one. And I think what I'll tie back to is something that people can probably, you know, relate to. So investment banks are essentially like real estate brokers, but for companies rather than for houses. And so what they do is kind of come in and they take a look at your company, so and or your house, and they tell you, you know, here's what you can probably do to make better. Here's what we're going to do to make, you know, here's a story we're going to tell to make buyers want it. You know, if you've got any concern areas, you know, we're going to fix those. And then, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to market it for you to the general market. And then we're going to help you close the deal.
Gotcha.
And so that's essentially what investment banking is. And so, yeah, there's a lot of man hours that go into it.
Weren't you working like from 7 in the morning to like 6:30 a.m.?
Yeah.
You would have like a half an hour to sleep.
Yeah. There was a time where things would get pretty rough. I mean, yeah realistically, you know, the worst time I think was we were working on a deal for an airport in Toronto. And I remember it was actually through Thanksgiving and they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. So I came back and, you know, worked, I think, that entire week and then throughout the month from, you know, we had a standing 7 a.m. call every day and I went to bed usually around like 2 or 3. And so back to Kat, you know, she was awesome and that was super supportive in that. And, you know, I would basically see her on the, you know, Sunday for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's kind of when I, you know, with her, it was like, that's okay. Boom. This is the perfect person for me because she's supportive and so I often think though, like as hard as it was, like I was at least, you know, just overwhelmed and busy where, you know, she just was like, what is going on?
Right.
But yeah, so that's investment banking. And then private equity is, you know, you can think about them as, you know, expert house flippers. So they raise a big fund from corporations and high worth net individuals. And they go out and they buy up a bunch of, you know, companies and, you know, come in, implement process, open new doors for growth areas, and then go out and sell at a higher price. Gotcha. So,
cool.
That's in a nutshell.
And that was you've wrapped that up all very nicely. Lovely.
Yeah.
So Symmetry, how did the idea for the name, the logo, the everything, like how did that come to you? I know you've spoken a little bit about it, but did you just wake up one day and you're like, security deposits?
Bam. Yeah, no. So Symmetry came from back when I was a freshman in high school. I started working for a real estate developer during the summers after football practice. And then after that, I would go and work for them. And I was an assistant maintenance technician. So basically doing all the jobs that they didn't want to do. So cleaning toilets.
Yes.
And, you know, all the nasty stuff that the guys who had the full-time jobs
did. I bet you saw some things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was But anyway, so kind of did that, and kept working up through high school. Got some property management experience along the way, and then when I went to University of Missouri, that's where this developer was in property management company was headquartered. So kind of switched over and did some asset management underwriting, and kind of got to see from that both sides of the table, both on the owner operator as well as the tenant perspective from, because they complain to nobody more than when you're sitting underneath their kitchen sink and they're just, bitching about this property sucks because of this So, hearing those pain points and hearing the pain points from the operators, kind of comes back to, all right, well, this is very much like compliant and, just you do, I'm the owner, I give you the keys and you give me cash and a deposit and you do this. And then when we leave, we go our separate ways. And so, what I wanted to do was go in and try to fix that. Deposits are, kind of a good, way to do that because, when you're in the middle of an active lease, that deposit isn't really the landlord's, it's really the tenant's. And so it's a nice area that we can kind of come in and provide value to both and show them, hey, look, if we do things together, we can, this can be actually a good, a much better relationship.
Sure.
And so, hence the kind of the name Symmetry. So that's where that came from. The logo, started off a couple different ways. Right now it's a house in the middle and, there's supposed to be kind of this like...
I'm looking at his hat right now and it's like a circle around.
Yeah, the funny thing about it is it's not symmetrical and it kind of bothers me.
Great.
It's the one thing that bothers me. But, the whole point is, where I want to take the business, where my team wants to take the business, is kind of centered around, it's all centered around your house. You can go do things, but at the same time, like you live in this place, in this unit or in this house, every day, and you don't often change that. And so what we're trying to do is kind of turn that into a profit center.
When you're dealing with people's homes, man, that is no joke. That is a very serious business.
Yeah. And I mean, and more when you're dealing people with people's live, money.
Absolutely. Yeah. You are working with a lot of heartstrings right there.
Yeah.
You are Jack Sbota with Symmetry this is where they live and, this is the money that they've invested into it. And no matter what, it's a really big job. And that's, I think what you're doing is great. And I think that, everybody wins what you're doing.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to say, again, as I said at the beginning, nobody likes putting down a security deposit because in today's market, you kind of think I'm going to put this down and I'm not going to see it back.
Right. Never going
to
see it.
Our job is to make sure that that's treated right. And if you do, if you don't cause any damage, if you do everything that you should on your lease, not only are you going to get that back, but we're going to get you other benefits because we're able to take that deposit and, go out and put it into vehicles that you can, it's still safe,
mm-hmm.
but now we can, make some interest. And when we compile with all the other people that live around you, we can get enough money where we can put that back into where you live and give you an overall better experience as a tenant.
That's so great.
Yeah.
So smart. Such a smart guy. It's going to be awesome when it's all kicked in.
We're getting close.
You are so close.
And that's, again, it takes a little bit of time because, dealing of, not just money, people's money, but, when you're working through the landlords, it's, money of other, it's their money, but then it's ultimately someone else's money. And so there's a lot of, we've got to iterate and make sure that, again, we stick to what our core value is, which is trying to make this a benefit for both sides.
Sure.
So
CEO life, give us the good, the bad, the ugly.
Yeah. There was a really funny analogy I saw like right after I left, I think. And there was a couple months after I left, but the analogy is it's like a guy riding on a lion. And so everybody else looks and says, wow, that's pretty cool. Like that guy is riding a lion and he looks, pretty calm while he's doing it. On the entrepreneur side or the CEO side, you're like, how the hell did I get on this lion? How do I get off?
Somebody get me off this lion.
Yeah. There's a lot of good, it's a lot of ups and downs. I mean, that's, you got to ride the wave when you can and just bury through and swim through the downs when you can. I mean, or when you're in the downs. I mean, it's, but super rewarding, whenever, it's the highs and lows and they change between, you could be in a great spot, in the middle of a week and you just ride that week out and all of a sudden, something bad happens and, you know, you fall to the low and you're like, this is the dumbest idea ever. No one's going to want this. And then, you know, then you have a good meeting. And then what Ross and I like to say is, are we back? Like, we're back. So, that's, you know, funny. It's very much, if you can handle that ups and downs, it's, you know, there's a lot of them, but, at the end of the day, again, kind of controlling your own destiny is something that I think is really cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And ultimately worth it. Yeah.
So in these ups and downs and goods and bads and everything like that, you've probably gotten a lot of, both solicited and unsolicited advice from a lot of outside sources. And how do you combat that to make sure, you know, obviously we were all raised in our family, you know, we're very respectful as much, well, mostly very respectful. We've got a few.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Bart. Just kidding, Bart.
No,
shout out. No, but you know, we are very respectful, and you like to hear other people's ideas, and you like to collaborate with them, and you don't want to shut anybody down. But at the same time, you know, this is your dream and this is your goal and your company and how you want it to look. So how do you work through that?
Yeah, there's definitely people that that'll, you know, give the unsolicited advice, and some of it is good. I mean, because a lot of times you do want that, you know, you want the, you know, because a lot of times you get so far into the weeds of, you know, you're trying to do too many things, and people, you know, you kind of get feedback and it's like, well, yeah, duh. Like, okay.
Sure.
You kind of, it's like, well, keep it simple, stupid. And, you know, so, you know, so you try to take that. And then on, you know, I think one of the toughest things that you go through is, you know, you spend so much time working on something and you're passionate about it and, you know, days in and days out. And, you know, then, you know, you go to a meeting or, you know, you go through a pitch or something, and someone just poo-poos all over it. Like, it's pretty tough.
Right.
And so you got to have some tough skin. And I think, you know, going through, you know, the banking process, you know, recruiting process and private equity, getting, you know, tons and tons of no's before, you know, finally finding that one, you know, that would give me a chance, you know, kind of built up a good, you know, kind of built me up for that. So I think, I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, definitely. So, because you know a lot about pitching, and you know you've had to do it a lot yourself, and you know I find that you are somebody, when I have a new idea, I like to pitch them too, which I've got a lot of good ones, folks. Just ask Jack. No, but pretend you're on Shark Tank and you're on a panel, and someone's pitching you a business venture or an idea. What are you looking for whenever someone's pitching that?
Yeah. To me, most important is passion.
Sure.
You know, are you passionate about it? Why are you doing this? What, you know, what's your underlying drive? And, you know, there's a lot of products out there that, you know, I'll get the product in a second, but there's a lot of product out there that just don't make sense to me, but you've got super passionate, you know, founders or people pushing that product, and, you know, people latch onto that. Right. And so, you know, I think that's, you know, a big one would be a big one for me is, how passionate are you? Like, you know, are you, you know, going to be the Kool-Aid guy and just bust through walls and hey, yeah. Everybody, yeah.
Whoa!
Everyone's like, no, busted my wall.
Take several seats, please.
No, but then on the product side, that's definitely most important. And so, you know, like, the, other than the passion, is product is, you know, how, you know, clear are you, you know, what is the problem you're solving, and, you know, how much money does it take to do that? You know, but again, there's products that can solve a weird problem, you know, Snuggies, Furbies, you know, there's weird products that make it. But, you know, product is obviously very important. So product, and then market. So market's next. Is how big is the market? Is that market growing? Is it shrinking? How tough is it crack into that market? And then once you're in, you know, are there dynamics, like, if it's really hard to break in, hence, you know, like with a, you know, real estate market, is it hard to break in? Is it one of those where once you're in, then, you know, it's a relationship type business or something where it's, you know, you've got, you know, a clear value prop that, you know, is going to be hard for others to, you know, come in and knock you out. And then finally, most important is how those two fit together. So product, market, and then, so there's a phrase called product market fit. And so, you know, how do those, you know, can you take this product and match the right market?
Sure.
And so that's, that's the summary of what I would look for.
Okay. So what you're telling me is, then, the most recent idea that I pitched to you is actually probably a winner.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think that it would be amazing. I want to start a company called How Do You Do, spelled D-O-O. And basically, it would be, you would utilize this in the bathroom, not like poopery, not the same. This would be to make sure everything was smoothly went away down the drain.
Yep.
But it's
like a Drano.
Like a Drano, but you keep it in your purse.
I'm in. Let's do it.
And it would be scented, of course.
Yeah.
I have to work through this a little bit. I need to work on my pitch. It all starts with the business plan. Yeah, I definitely need to work on that pitch a little bit. Ooh. So what was it like growing up in a household that I would be willing to bet there was a lot of pitching that went on in this household. Two very successful parents.
Yeah.
Brothers that are also wildly successful as well. Yeah. What was that like?
It was awesome. So my brothers we're all super close, but we're all very different in our own ways.
I would agree with that completely.
Yeah. So Bill, Tom, myself, and Nick, and we're all spaced 4 years apart. So it was nice that, like Bill kind of went in and, from a grade school and high school perspective, laid this fantastic foundation for
he,
us.
What a guy.
Rock solid. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing. And then Tom, just with his passion about going through high school and seeing he's always been the one that's been most athletic, and seeing mm-hmm. how much he had just overcame his at the same time we're all none of us are 6 foot, right? And so seeing Tom be a Russell Wilson type and then on the all American on the lacrosse side was really cool. And then with Nick's just been such a charismatic person.
He is. Yeah, oh my goodness. Yeah. Yes.
And it's incredible. I mean, we often, my neighbor and when he first met Nick up in Chicago, walked down, he's like, is your brother either an alderman or a preacher?
Both?
Yeah. Question mark. Yeah, right. Maybe both. But yeah, it was awesome though. And we've stayed tremendously close. I mean, that's, my parents did a fantastic job. And not only, within our core, four brothers of us and my parents, but now, my wife, our sister-in-laws, and then to our extended family,
sure.
On both sides. And, I often have people that are their minds are blown how close I am with, my cousin and all my other cousins.
Sure,
right. On both sides. And so, it was a fantastic environment to grow up in.
That's great.
And unfortunately then you got me where I was always the one nagging, and annoying my dad.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you also you don't give yourself enough credit because while maybe you were like nagging and whatever, you keep things running around here.
Yeah, that's true.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
I am the default. Well, I think it's my dad's payback. It's like, you nagged. So now default everything that if I need a project. Guess who's project manager?
Yeah, but you also are. You're also you and Bill. Probably both of you are. You have to be the one that's going to lay down the smack in a lot of situations,
Then it's great to have Nick and Tom to be there and
yes.
Kind of keep us down to earth.
And there's just kind, and we'll listen. Not that Bill, if you're listening, you're very kind too. Yeah. Grandpa Bill. I always call him Grandpa Bill because he's the oldest cousin, and I feel like he has kind of kept us all.
Yeah.
He's kept us all kind of in line.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just laid the foundation.
And he did.
Gave us a path to follow.
He did a really great job with that. So what's your favorite word, phrase, quote of all time?
So I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say our company mantra, which is more money, less problems. Kind of like the
wow, repeated, I love that.
Yeah, no money, no problems.
Take
nope,
a page
nope.
out of P. Diddy's book.
No money, less problems.
I love that so much.
Yeah. For real, I would say make it a great day. It's been one that I've really liked. I think this is actually something that my father-in-law, Kat's dad, Doug Campion, used to always say to her, and I really like it because. It kind of puts the onus on you to go out and make your own day. Like, you don't look for other people to, impact your day. And it kind of says, well, you got to have this positive energy. Cause that's one thing I've found in, recent months is, it's a game changer. Right. And so if you go out and you kind of throw out, hey, I'm in a good mood. I'm ready to do deals or to make business or do anything. It's such more than, if you're walk around being grumpy pants all day and then asking, well, why did I have such a crappy day? Well, maybe you should look at yourself.
Maybe you have a dirty diaper on.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The poopy diaper.
You need some how do you do.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, last but not least, can't forget, kind of dope swag.
Kind of dope. No, your favorite quote. I'm Kelly Clarksoning this conversation again.
Yeah.
What about "It All Happened So Fast"?
Yeah, that's a good one, because especially for me, you know, there's been some unfortunate things that just have happened to me through my life, whether it be, you know, bugs flying in my ear when I was a little kid.
That did happen.
To, you know, perfect push-ups ricocheting off of couches and knocking out my front tooth.
Also happened.
Yeah. Or disco balls falling on my head.
Like cannot make this stuff up.
Yeah.
Cannot make this stuff up. He dropped his cell phone in the lake one time, yeah. And he just turned around, and after every time that these things happen, he says, "Dad, it just all happened so fast." It's like, did it though?
This keeps happening.
Yeah, this looks a little bit like a trend. Okay, so last part of our interview, thankful. What are four things that you're thankful for today?
Hashtag thankful.
Hashtag thankful.
Yeah. So first and foremost would be my wife, Kat. So mm-hmm. She, you know, has been incredibly supportive, you know, to me throughout, you know, just throughout our relationship, and then, you know, especially in the past few years with, you know, we of course had the conversation of, you know, look, if I do this, you know, it's going to be stressful times as well as, you know, but, she's just been great through that. You know, I think, on the family trend, my parents, obviously, you know, like, you know, having free rent whenever I come back into St. Louis.
Don't you love that? I feel like I'm at an all-inclusive every time I come home.
Yeah. My bill is just racking out. I feel like my dad's just, I'm just going to get a bill one day. Here's 400 nights at,
you're like, you know, oops.
Yeah. No, but so that they've been, you know, supportive. I feel like on the past episodes, a lot of people have mentioned, you know, their pets. And so, you know, I'm not necessarily thankful for Tibbs, but I'm thankful that he came back from running away.
Tibbs went missing for a little while and he's back.
Very thankful he came back, especially because it was my fault that he ran away.
Well, you know, he had a good time.
Yeah.
Out in the streets.
But I'd say, what am I on? Two? So three.
Three was Tibbs.
Oh, three is Tibbs. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, so... last, I'd say the people who, like from a work perspective, you know, as we go out and we talk about symmetry, the people who are, you know, willing to hear us out and say, you know, a lot of times, because it is something new, it's something that's never been done before.
For sure.
And so, you know, kind of, you know, the people who say, you know, all right, well, you know, this is, I believe in these guys and, you know, willing to give them a shot. So that's
sure.
That's,
and you, whenever you're out and you're meeting with a lot of these people, you're with a lot of the different people that you're pitching to, is it generally people who own, you know, different apartment management companies? What is the...
Yeah, so there's a mix. There's, you know, ones that are both owner and operator, so they own the units, and then they mm-hmm. also have a management team that, you know, manages the day-to-day. There's ones that are just owners and
sure.
outsource a property management company to do that for them, and then there's, you know, the property management companies that are working for various owners. So, again, that's been a definitely a tough battle. You know, we kind of focus on right now the owner operators, but you know, you also need to build a product that makes all three of those, you know, that hits all three of those and makes
sure.
it all work. And so, you know, we started, you know, kind of going down the owner operator path now, obviously, to make sure that we address a big enough market. We're focusing on, you know, solely owners and solely operators. And so,
right.
You know, making sure that you have that clear value prop to each of those parties is super important. And so it's been, and that's where even people who take meetings and say, look, I don't know if I'm interested in this right now, but I'm willing to help out. And
sure.
so, you know, that's very thankful for those types.
Hit them up.
Yeah. Right.
On the Twitter. Cause that's the only place he's not. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
We'll share all of Jack's, Instagram and all of the things and email and you'll have
company
access
website
company
best,
website.
You go to Instagram and be like, four posts?
What a loser. He's got two followers.
LinkedIn. I'll post this.
We'll make sure that anyone who wants to get in touch with Jack can get in touch with Jack and the good folk at Symmetry. Okay. Last but not least, we have to play a little game called This or That.
Oh boy.
This is the one that always gets people in trouble, and we live in a cancel culture, so you might get canceled from your whole family.
Yep. Oh boy. Here
nah.
we go. All right.
I tried to be nice.
I'm ready.
Okay. You can't think about it too much. Go back in time to the history of bad pets. Casey or Eloise?
Casey.
Ooh.
So Eloise was just always nasty to me.
She was nasty
yeah,
to everybody.
I know you probably don't like hearing that.
No, she's terrible.
Casey, you know, I saw a spot for Casey. She did poop on my dad's iron one time, which was pretty funny.
Fantastic.
Right in the perfect spot.
I'm sure John was thrilled.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yes. Okay, football or lacrosse?
Lacrosse.
Okay. Mizzou or Notre Dame?
Mizzou.
Okay. Because you went there or just because?
Because, and I feel like if I said Notre Dame, I love Notre Dame, but similar to the premise of like, you know, it's weird for me if I didn't go there.
Yeah,
you know,
no, that's fair. That's fair. Although I, you know, stan Duke. Anyway, Robbie or Bart?
Ooh, Bart.
I can hear Robbie. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. You have to consider who you could take down needed to. Well,
yeah, and Bart, you know, Bart's one of the more intelligent people I've ever met. So trying to explain to him how I went with the Robbie versus telling Robbie, dude, you're younger.
I feel that. Okay, snowboard or skiing?
Snowboarding, 100%.
Yeah?
Yeah, skiing is fun, but it's so tiring. Mm. So tiring. And snowboarding you never get tired, and it's more fun. But
okay. Fair enough. I need to learn how to snowboard and ski, actually, for that matter. Maybe I should just sit by the fire and drink wine.
Yeah, that works.
That's too. All right, Chiefs or Blues?
Blues. So Chiefs, I just it was awesome to see him win, but I feel like I'm not a true fan yet. And especially now, too, it's like, you know, the Rams left, and then you had to find a team, and I grew up not liking the Chiefs, and to switch over was tough. And then, of course, now it's like, I can't become a Chiefs fan because everyone will be like, oh, convenient.
Yep. Go to the Super Bowl. Jump on that bandwagon. That's fair. Okay. Beer or whiskey?
Whiskey.
Oh, do you have a particular kind that you like?
Well, I would actually say, whiskey, but tequila is my favorite.
Really? Yeah. Tequila? Yeah. Okay. Tony or Thomas? If you're listening, shout out.
I'm going to go.
Ben.
I'm going to go Thomas because Tony will understand. Thomas will never let me down.
Well, that's such an unfair question because you, and I know you're just answering because you feel like you have to and you're good at this playing the game thing.
The politics game.
But you have.
Ryan Thomas is getting married. Imagine if you heard this.
It's the day before his wedding. Right. It's all over. Yep. You're right. You have always had just the best friend group and like just so fun, and you're really lucky that you've had
it's an awesome diverse mix of people. It's been a lot of fun,
so many amazing characters and personalities that have been wrapped up in there, and it was really fun to, you know, get to know them as you were growing up, and they're just
excited now to move back and be around.
I'm sure you are. Yeah, that's gotta be good. I know you guys had a lot of great friends in Chicago, but a lot of those guys I know are back here, Well, thank you so much for being on today.
Of course.
You were wonderful.
Awesome.
I hope that you listeners out there have gotten a wealth of information. Like I said, his website and email and Twitter handle, and I might even share his Snapchat. No, I won't. That would be mean. We'll share all of that information with you so you can reach out to him if you want to get in touch with Symmetry or if you just kind of want to know more about him because he's super smart, as you can see. And, you know, shoot him an email. Network.
Yeah.
He's a good guy like that.
Any questions about Win the Week too?
Questions about Win the Week. That's so smart. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to steal that.
I got to trademark it.
You do need to trademark that. You should take it. Well, thanks again so much for being here. Everybody, I will see you next week, Wednesday, on Choreograph Your Life. I hope you have the best rest of your week, and I hope you win that week. Thanks so much. Talk to you later. Bye. Woo!